Edge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast. Chris Graham and Rod Mullins. We'll talk some NASCAR here on a Wednesday afternoon. And Rod, let's start where we left things off when we talked last week. We were getting folks ready for Dover as we're plowing our way through the 2019 playoffs. And so kind of break things down for us here. What happened with Dover and what were some of the big storylines coming out of that race?
Big storylines from Dover, Kyle Larson wins his first race in something like 75 races. He had a winless streak that's ran almost as long, maybe just a little shorter than what Jimmy Johnson has in his career. But, you know, here is Kyle Larson winning for Chip Ganassi Racing, pulls off a big win and gets himself into the playoffs. And now he looks at the situation and says, this is his plan. Well, hopefully I'm not on my lid by the time I get to Talladega. You know, last time I was on my lid and I didn't make the playoffs, and this time I don't have to worry about it. If somebody does hit me at Talladega and I'm on my lid, well, that'll be all right. It's not going to hurt me in the playoff picture at the stand. So he's kind of going in, buoyed a little bit by his performance on Sunday afternoon at Dover Downs and coming away with a big win on that. And you know, rightly so. He deserved that win. He's been looking for it, like I said, for 75 races. But I guess the other storyline of that race that weekend was Joey Logano. And that was Joey Logano's attempt to, I guess if you want to call it this, slow down the pack a little bit. And there were a lot of people that weren't happy with him. He was so many laps down. He'd had some problems occur with the Pennzoil Ford for Roger Penske. And when that happened, he just went and he tried to make the best of it. And what does he do? He gets back out on the track and he laps down, at least 20 or 30 laps down. And he just is running speed. And here come these cars up through the pack and they're trying to get around him. And he won't let them get around him, which opens that story up once again for this situation that we're facing. If you're a playoff driver and you're out there for points, are you holding people up or are these lap cars holding people up to prevent them from getting points that could very well put them into a good position for the next race going in to possibly win or have some good luck and be able to add on a little bit more? So there's some controversy that came out of that. Denny Hamlin was not very happy about the situation, referred to Joey Logano as an idiot. And then he came back and then he said, well, I don't mean that he's an idiot, but he just wasn't thinking very smart, if you ask me. So that's about the situation what came out of Dover this past week.
So what could a solution be? What's the chatter about? I mean, because we talked about this on a couple of podcasts ago, Rod. You know, it's an odd situation anyway, and it is what it is. NASCAR is, you know, it's always been the case that you have a full field no matter what. But I'm thinking right now, I did a podcast earlier today talking about the baseball playoffs. And I'm a Nats fan, Nats observer, write about the Nats a lot. Nats are playing the Dodgers tonight. Well, you know what? The Miami Marlins can't keep the Nats from winning the game tonight. The Miami Marlins have been on the playoff picture for a long, long time. They're not in the playoffs. The New York Mets can't keep the Nats from winning the game tonight. But in NASCAR, Joey Logano, out of the playoff picture, laps down in a race, he could have an impact on the playoffs, and that's really interesting. And it's just, again, it's hard to figure out what a solution could be. But is there any chatter about what could be done other than guys just not being an idiot and holding people up when they shouldn't be, you know, out there doing that kind of thing?
Well, this is what opens up the Pandora's box, so to speak. If you go and you penalize a driver like that, I think in some cases, maybe if you are running, I mean, if you look at the flags that the flagman holds in the stand up there, there are flags that say specifically you're being overtaken by a certain car. You know, they've got a flag for that, and you know they try to tell you who's coming up behind you. But you know, if you're not paying attention to the flagman, if you're not paying attention to your spotter, and you don't keep up with what the spotter is doing, that's what I call problem. And if you're out there driving just for the heck of things, like you're driving on a Sunday afternoon drive, it's going to cause even bigger problems, especially for some of these drivers who want to get in the playoffs or want to at least establish that hold on either the top eight positions right now for the playoffs or however they want to, or somebody that could go in and be a wild card out of this whole thing and throw some, you know, throw a, a kind of a monkey wrench into the machine, so to speak. I think Joey Logano probably, in my opinion, I think he was wrong. And I think he was wrong for trying to block some of these other drivers coming up through there. But he's 30 laps down, or he's 20-some laps down, whatever the case may be. Now, if he was 5 laps down, or 4 laps, or 3 laps, yes, I would be racing these guys as hard as I could, because if my car was faster and I am able to benefit at least from one good point, and that is a wreck or something that happens out there, I can get back on the lead lap, or I can get back on a lap ahead of that, what they used to call the lucky dog, or the guy that wins the position back. But in this case, if you're that many laps down, you have no business holding somebody back like that. And stuff. Even if you are a playoff contender, if you're not a playoff contender, you don't need to be holding people back like that.
Is there any talk has there ever been any talk about, outside of guys who were actually in the playoff chase, still being laps back, that's one thing. That's racing. That's part of what racing is, I guess. Any thought, though, about, when we narrow the field from, the big field all season long to 16, then it gets to 12, then to 8, et cetera, any idea that maybe the races at some point in the future could just be those 16 and then the 12 and then the 8? I mean, or is that something that's never even been thought of in NASCAR circles?
I think they thought about it, but I think it's one of those things of where NASCAR is going to have to come up with some kind of solution, and I think they need to, and it might even be to the extreme of something along the lines of hockey. I mean, that might be something of, you have a driver that's out there that is using, that's very abusive. But, we've got to be, there's a gray area there. How would you have ruled Alex Bowman here a couple of weeks ago, especially on Bubba Wallace, even though Bubba Wallace was not in playoff contention, do you penalize him for doing that? Well, some people would say, yes, you do. You penalize him for aggressive driving. But in the case of Joey Logano, do you penalize him for, kind of running interference, so to speak, through the field and so forth, where these guys are not able to get up through there? I think that if you're going and you're not maintaining a certain speed, which, of course, they black flag you if they do that, if you're having any kind of equipment problems or anything, but you're black flag, you have to go to back to the infield, or you have to go there to the garage area and be worked on. I think a solution might be that if you are going and you're blocking someone, and that point contender or whatever is trying to get around you, and they don't take you out, or they don't go and wreck you, so to speak, you need to be penalized. And that would mean almost, it wouldn't be a stop and go penalty, but it would almost be a penalty like you have in hockey of, go to the penalty box, sit there for 5 laps, and we'll see if it teaches you a lesson on holding up traffic. And it reminds me so much of traveling up the interstate, so to speak. You've got somebody over in the passing lane, you're trying to get around, and these people are holding you up from getting on over back into the normal right-hand lane, and it's like they have no concept of what they're doing, except, I'm doing what's for my benefit. And in this case, it seemed like Joey Logano was doing the same thing for his own benefit, and then quite possibly not thinking what it might have done to the team if they had been penalized. And so he really didn't have anything to worry about being penalized like that. So I think maybe a penalty box, so to speak, to NASCAR hold them there for so many laps, I think that would maybe teach some of these guys what to do. Of course, they'll protest about it. These guys will get mad and say, you're keeping us from racing out here on the track. But, enough's enough. I mean, if these guys are in contention, don't try to keep the rest of them from getting up through the pack and somebody winning that could go and very much need to win to be able to keep their season going, so to speak.
So we've gone down to 12. When's the next cut down to 8? What race do we have that next cut?
We're getting very close to it. I think it's in about the next, it's not Talladega, but I think it'll be the next weekend, I believe, is what we'll be getting to when we get down to that 8. And once we get, so it won't be this coming weekend. It might be the next weekend after, and that'll give us roughly about 1 month and probably about, probably about 5 or 6 races, 4 or 5 races, somewhere in that neighborhood of where they'll be starting to get ready for Homestead before it's all over.
Gotcha. We'll talk about Talladega in a moment here on the podcast. Next topic we wanted to get into, though, was talking about testing the new Generation 7 car, Austin Dillon among those. The testing, I think, was at Richmond International Raceway. Talk to us about that and what the latest is there, Rod.
Yeah, it would have been great if you'd been able to see this, but there was a media impound that no one could go in. Fans were not allowed to go in. The media was not allowed to go in. Only after Austin Dillon was able to, I guess, through Richard Childress Racing and Chevrolet and NASCAR, once they had approved everything, we got a glimpse, so to speak, of this new Generation 7 or this next generation car, as they call it. And to me, it looks a lot like a Camaro Corvette body style is what it looks like. Now, the other cars are going to have a little bit of a different kind of styling, so to speak, of how they're going to be presented when they start doing their testing. But Chevrolet has done their testing already, and they did so at Richmond with Austin Dillon. And Richard Childress Racing built this car from the ground up. And the specs on it are supposed to be those kinds of things that will enable these race teams to be able to race supposedly, quote-unquote, cheaper than what they have been. So if you've been going through a 36-race or a 35-race schedule, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood, you've got to have at least about $1 million or more each time you go out into racing. And that consists of, you know, parts, materials, testing, all of these different things. And you can see why crew chiefs are very particular when they say, don't beat this in or don't mess this up. That's just the part we don't want to have to fix this weekend. Because when you're cutting corners on things like that, especially for these smaller race teams, every piece of material is something that's precious. Now, for some of these teams, it's got money coming in, and they have, you know, an affiliation or at least a strong affiliation with a sponsorship or maybe with a manufacturer. Some are not worrying about that, but, you know, you've got the Joe Gibbs Racing teams that Toyota seems to just be pouring the money to on the carbon fiber body and different things like that, which they're using this kind of technology that they're working on for this next generation car for the next generation cars that Toyota or Chevrolet or Ford is going to produce within the next 10 to 15 years. So it's kind of getting a double benefit out of it. But the car, what I could see of it, was barely recognizable. They had some kind of, oh man, it looked like something psychedelic out of the 60s or an Austin Powers movie. Some kind of tape all over this thing of where it would prevent good pictures, at least, from being taken of what this car would look like. But the front end reminds me a little bit of a Corvette. The back end reminds me of a Corvette. But then you've got the cab in there, or the main part that reminds me still of a little bit of the old Camaro body is what they're using right now. So we'll have to wait and see. 2021 is when this thing is going to be out. And Austin Dillon seemed pleased, but he said they still had a lot of work to do here and now between this time and then in the next year when they're going to be testing this thing to really get it out on the track in 2021.
Yeah, it makes sense that it would take a while to develop, you know. But it is interesting. I mean, you talk about the economics. The economics are important. Even if you're one of those whale-heeled teams that has money, you know, with and seemingly doesn't have issues worrying about the cost, it's still, you know, if you can save the money there, it certainly makes you more efficient. So it'll be interesting to see how it develops. All right, so Talladega. We got through Dover. Now we're going back to the to a super speedway, the big one, you know, all these things here we have to worry about now with Dega. So what can we look for with the race this weekend as the playoffs continue?
This is going to be a pivotal race, and I know there will be some people that will say it's just Talladega, but Talladega can make or break a race team, especially on this particular weekend and as close as this thing is getting to the cutoff point. Chase Elliott had bad luck at Dover. He only went 10 laps into the race before a Hendrick engine blew. That's not like Hendrick Motorsports to have an engine blow 10 laps into it. And, you know, here he is. He's kind of bummed. He thought that they would end up with a better, I guess, finish than what they did at Dover. But he's actually looking forward to this race at Talladega. He's won at Talladega before. He'd like nothing more than to get a big win down there. And Hendrick has been strong when they have went to Talladega. So has Richard Childress. Richard Childress Motorsports, Richard Childress Enterprises, Richard Childress Racing, they have really invested a lot of time into their super speedway program. And once they get into that, they're hard to stop as well. But you can't count out either the Fords when the Fords come into this. And that will be with the Roush Yates Racing team, the racing engines that they have. because Roush has put in so much of his time, as well as Doug Yates. He's into it. Doug Yates' brother has been into it, of where they have made these engines. They have put all this stuff together, and Ford is hard to beat at Talladega sometimes. Ricky Stenhouse has won twice there before. So when they get on this 2.5-mile super speedway with banking and everything else, yeah, you mentioned the word right there a few minutes ago, the big one, and that's what a lot of people will be expecting. Who's going to make that first move to try to break out from that dirty air to get clean air, to see what they can do to go to the front, and who will touch somebody as they come through there and send somebody careening either off into the wall or down into the infield, because it's anybody's race at that point when they get to Talladega. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of twisted, as the old saying is, twisted sheet metal and carbon fiber body that'll be messed up there at the track this weekend. But we'll just have to wait and see, because, hey, you're getting down to the crunch. It's not playing conservative right now. I think Brad Keselowski said it. We're down to the stretch. We can't be conservative. If we're conservative, it could be the end of us toward playoff time. So I think everybody's going to be trying to make a move this weekend and go into those last 2-3 weeks here before the month is out and try to make a real run to see what they can do to get in that playoff, or at least secure their place in that playoff once they get down to the final eight.
Yeah, pedal to the metal and balls to the wall. We got a race. No reason to be conservative now, especially if you're in that playoff picture. You gotta let it all hang out there. So, well, Rod, thank you for your time as always. We'll have you back on next week. We'll break down Talladega and look ahead. Thanks for your time.
Appreciate it, Chris. Thanks.